What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Got an incredible guest for you today. One of the greatest drummers on the planet. An amazing human. A dear friend. Ladies and gentlemen, make a ton of noise for Eric Moore.
Amazing.
An arena sound.
Super amazing.
It's good, right? Is that your first time hearing that amount of applause with no drums in front of you?
Yeah, you know, right before we go on.
Yeah, there. Oh.
1, 2.
Oh, count us in.
Go. Let's go.
What's up, Eric?
Man, what's up? It's so dope to be here. Man, chilling with my bro.
Good to see you, man.
For real.
We've done a lot together, dude.
Yo, you're an amazing human, and it's amazing how the planets align. For real.
I appreciate that. I feel the same about you. Yeah, you've played at a bunch of jams.
Yo, they're insane though.
We just did F1 together. Oh, F1 Las Vegas.
Yes, thank you for that.
That was awesome.
Yo, F1, I have something for you. It just dawned on me. I don't drop the mic, but I do have something for you.
This is great. I have no idea what this is going to be.
It's all good. This is for you.
What?
I was on your channel the other day, and I got you something, even though you haven't got it yet.
No, you
yes,
didn't,
sir.
Bro.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Eric Moore.
I just want to know when you're getting the...
It's getting me ready for Team Ferrari.
That part.
Lewis Hamilton has made the switch. The announcement is in. He has left Mercedes and headed to Ferrari. Bro, you're awesome. First of all, thank you so much.
Man, come on, bro.
This is great. I needed this. Yes. I need to build the Ferrari
that
gear
part.
Collection.
That part.
Wow.
That part.
I'm so sad. Yeah, I'm wearing a Lewis Hamilton shirt. This is the Lewis Hamilton Murakami collab.
Yo, yeah.
But you know what? I love Ferrari because I'm Italian, and who doesn't love Ferrari?
Totally.
Right? So, dude, thank you, man.
It's all good. For sure.
Wow.
For sure. I saw it. I was like, I got to get it. Yeah. Sick shirt.
This is dope.
And it got the good jam car colors in it, too, with a little bit of
jam
my
colors.
Favorite in there, the red in there, too. So.
Yeah. I know. You're all decked out in the red.
I like that color. I'm not into gangbanging or anything like that. I don't know. It suits my skin really well. And yeah, when I was in a rock band back in the day, they liked a lot of blue. So I was like, hey.
now that you're just drumming solo all the time, I'm going to do red.
Yeah, I had to switch it up.
Well, thank you for the kind gift. I appreciate that. As I start my transition from Mercedes to Ferrari.
Let's go.
I got a year to get used to it. So. Because it starts in 2025.
Right.
They announced it a year early. Moving.
Crazy.
It's crazy. Anyways, thank you. So,
you're welcome.
Eric Moore, one of my favorite drummers.
Oh, bro.
Here's a question, dude. As a drummer.
Yes.
You have a huge vocabulary. You're very proficient. I watch your videos all the time on Instagram, wherever. And it's just, there's always just like more licks. Where do you get this vocabulary from? Do you practice all the time?
When I was younger. It started when I wanted to win Guitar Center Drum Off.
Yep.
Like, that is what made me get into super practice mode of playing drum solos and building a vocabulary. Because back then, they used to give you 5 minutes to talk. And when you go for 5 minutes, a lot of people cannot express themselves for 5 minutes. So in order to do that, I would go through different genres of music. And being able to speak over different genres of music. Once you start digging in, it's very difficult to play a drum solo and keep people mesmerized or paying attention for 5 whole minutes to just a drummer. That's what makes it so difficult. It's not that drummers are not fantastic, but it's more so less we're playing grooves all the time and we're playing with the artists. So when you become the artist and you have to wow the people for 5 minutes, It's not simple.
Yeah.
So when I started digging into it, it just opened up my vocabulary, listening to so many different songs and being able to speak like Michael Jackson, or be able to speak like Missy Elliott, or being able to speak like T-Pain, or being able to speak like James Brown. When people talk, they have vocabularies in how they sound as artists. So I would inherit that while I'm playing to that music. Mm. And then that's what comes out when I'm able to play a lot of drum licks. And then nowadays with these amazing drummers all over social media, how they stay relevant and how I would love to stay relevant is being able to still sound young, like the generation that's here now. They play a lot of licks with their left hand and they lead off playing crash cymbals like a splash cymbal, or they do reverse, so the hands will go up movement.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because when back in the day, me and Ronald Brunner and Thomas, just so many drummers, when we would get together and shed, we used to work on stuff like that all the time. So it's crazy seeing it 20 years later coming back full circle and people doing it. So that's how I pretty much built my vocabulary. And then I used to work with a drummer when I was younger. His name is Dante Roberson, and they call him Taz. He's from the Bay. He told me, when you take a solo or even in a groove, when you're playing a song, try to play, and this is in gospel music, mind you. He said, when you play a feel, try not to play the same feel twice. Mm-hmm. And he said, it doesn't have to be difficult, but try not to play it the same two times in a song.
Yeah.
So make it feel good, but not to play it twice. So that's something I took and something that I held with me for a long time. And then once you start playing for artists, then you better learn how to play the same feel twice. But
yeah, that's a different thing though.
Totally, totally. Playing for artists is totally different than doing a drum clinic. And
doing a drum clinic is like the sport drumming.
Super, super the sport. I love it though.
Yeah.
I love drum clinics. I love being able to go express and do me. A lot of people get nervous with it. Me, when I get to play in front of drummers, I feel at home.
Yeah.
I feel more at home playing my own stuff and doing drum clinics than I do playing for artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point now, when you're going crazy, what does it feel like?
After this pandemic.
Yeah.
And being locked away in a house for a very, very long time and not knowing when is the next time that you're going to be unleashed to do this.
Yeah.
Now it feels overwhelming. Mm. Like I just came back from doing a European clinic tour and it was awesome. I did Tam Tam Festival and a lot of other festivals, and it was a humbling experience, amazing experience just to bring it back full circle after about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. When I watch you play, you just seem like you're really tapped in. So as you're tapped in, and you're going off, are you thinking, or are you just in the moment and it's just kind of coming out of you because it's just a part of you? It's so embedded as you.
A lot of times I play off the feeling of the people and I generate from what they give me. So how I may start it is just basically on feel, and it could be what my mood is that day. I usually never start a clinic or a performance off with the same song, or it just all depends on how hype I am. If I'm really hype, I might go full gusto out the gate. And if I start out on 10, I'm gonna end on 100. It just all depends on the day. Or when I play drums, it's not to be perfect. I just don't never want to suck.
Yeah.
I never want to suck. And I play as if life is short. Every time I sit on drums, no matter if I'm at a small club and I'm making a small amount of money, or I'm playing in front of 25,000, I'm making a large amount of money. It's not even a dollar factor or the person. For me, I'm playing, even in a rehearsal, I play as if I could get into a car accident when I leave.
Wow. Wow.
Every time. So a lot of, like, I have friends that be like, man, you play every time you play. It's like, you sit down and it's like you always going for it or something.
Yeah.
It's not even for the person or whatever. It's just for myself. I really do love drums. And when I play, it's like being a kid all over again.
Mm-hmm.
It really feel like I'm back to being a kid.
How did you get here? Like, I know you won the drum off and all that stuff. I remember that was when I heard about you.
Right.
First time I heard about you way before we made friends.
Right. I think I got here through a lot of grinding and a lot of no's.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, companies, endorsement companies, and principals in school and church, and just being told no all the time, even in church. Like, no, you cannot play this loud. No, you need to calm down. No, you need to do this. You need to do that. And I'm an Aquarius, so I'm kind of rebellious when it comes to a lot of stuff and the way my mind works through things. I knew since I was 5 years old, I wanted to be a professional drummer.
Yeah.
Like I told my mom back before I graduated high school, she was like, what you going to do if you, I was like, there's no, what am I going to do? Like, this is what I'm going to do. And I promise you that I'm a win. In the end, I'm a win.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I'm 16 years old. Like, how do you, I'm telling you, mom, like I promise you. And don't worry, mom and dad, like y'all don't have to worry. Like I don't have to come to you and ask you for anything. Like, I don't need a handout in order for this to be my life. Like, I know where I'm going. And now when they come, my parents will come to my house or something. They'd be like, wow, you really? Yeah. Because I follow my heart.
Yeah.
I learned that a long time ago. Man, if you follow your heart, the sky's the limit. The sky isn't even the limit. You could go past the sky.
Yeah.
Like, let's break the barriers of everything.
Because when I saw you play at the drum off, what year was that? 2000?
I won in 2003.
2003, yep. Right? So 20 years
it's
ago.
It's been 20 years.
Crazy. So when I saw you 20 years ago at the drum off, you were already monster drummer. Like, you were blowing all of our minds, hence you winning. Right? Like, I mean, your speed, your precision, the creativity behind it was just like insane. So that was just you were playing all the time.
Yeah, I definitely was playing a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of drums. I would sit in my room. I wanted to win that bad, though. I would literally sit in my room, I graduated high school that year, so.
Wow.
It would be go to school, get out of school, finish up work, play drums till night.
Yeah.
All the time. It was something I was dedicated to. Like, if I ain't been dedicated to nothing else in life, I definitely knew that once I win this drum off, coming from a very small town of Stockton, California, then the sky's the limit from here. Like,
yeah.
there's nothing I can't do.
Yeah.
Like, I just have to prove it to myself. It's not even to the people or the world. It's like, once I prove this to myself, then I know that I won't have to work a regular job, because I don't want to work a regular job. I don't want to be a security guard, or I don't want to. Like, I want to play drums for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to prove it to myself to know that I was good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got so good that it was apparent to everybody. You know what? I got to say, you know what's really funny, man? I haven't thought about this in a long time, but I met you back then really briefly.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I didn't know you like how I know you now.
No, we're cool now.
We're cool now. Cool. Yeah. But I feel like that was a different Eric Moore.
It was a very, very, very different area. And I say very so many times because I'm definitely not the same person I was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not even the same person I was 2017.
Yeah.
Zildjian Eric is not Peisty Eric. It's two different people.
Yeah.
It's so different. And even in my style and my approach to drums, like, yeah, I could still go. I could go from 0 to 100, like sitting down really easily. But even my approach to music, how I play music with artists, how I am with life, how it is with business, it's like you just get better with age.
Your personality was different.
Always larger than life.
Yes.
But it was just I felt like I tried my best to be a good person.
Yeah.
But it wasn't easy to be good.
Mm.
It wasn't easy at all. And a lot of people won't understand that coming from a very small town.
Stockton.
Stockton is California. Very small. Very small. Growing up in church,
yep.
I was very, very close with my family, with my mother, my father,
mm-hmm.
playing drums in church with my dad. And then going from that to straight winning drum off.
Yep.
After winning drum off, straight on tour. Like from 03, 04. I won in November 23rd, 2003. By 2004, I got a gig with Sly Stone. Went on my first tour to Amsterdam in 2004. 2005, linked up with El DeBarge, Chico DeBarge. Started playing music with them and touring with them, being their musical director. And then going from that to being seen with Bobby Brown, getting picked up by Bobby Brown's people, playing for Bobby Brown. And it's like my career just like bing, 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 bing. And it went from playing pocket with Bobby Brown and going on tours with Bobby Brown to Suicidal Tendencies, actually Infectious Grooves first. And then by that, so by 2007, within 3 or 4 years, what's crazy is I'm 400 to 500 pounds as a big guy.
Yeah.
And I'm literally a rock star in a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take it as that, because you're not supposed to be, look, you're not supposed to be a rock star. But when you get to play drums in a 5-member rock band and you're signing autographs and signing albums and you're just put in the limelight of a rock star, it could get to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm 25 years old, 400 to 500 pounds. Like, I probably weighed like 460 pounds, 475 pounds. My highest weight was 504.
Wow.
Which is humongous.
Yeah.
And just touring the world, 25 years old, touring the world, playing drums professionally, not a care in the world, living hotel to hotel out of a suitcase, buying whatever I want, money, no kids, just enjoying life.
Yeah.
Yeah. To say it for real, asshole comes to mind sometimes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely come home or go to somebody's function and just knowing that I'm a rock star.
I'm the shit.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so hard to calm it or to tame it at that time when you're young.
Yeah.
And you go from winning drum off to winning a car to winning $5,000-$10,000 and then go on tour, and it comes fast. It's just like a rapper getting a record deal and just going and saying, you're like, yo, yeah, it's hard to just be that humble person that grew up in church.
But yeah,
definitely through the years, you learn how to cope with life. You learn how to deal with what's coming your way, and mainly just grow up.
Yeah.
It just took me time to grow up.
Was there a turning point or something that happened that, you know, kind of matured you or made you have this like grow up desire? Because it's a different desire. You have to want that, right? Or something has to hit you that totally makes that happen.
I think the biggest thing was when I, what's crazy is I was in New York and I got on the scale and I was out with Suicidal Tendencies and we was at the airport and I got on the scale to weigh my bags.
Yeah.
And I weighed myself. Yeah. And that's when I seen that I weighed 504 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And me seeing the scale, a weight of a scale, made me change my entire life.
Wow.
Not just, okay, you're going to change your weight and you're going to go to the gym and you're going to be small. No. It was, whoa. I need to change me.
Yeah.
Like all of me.
Wow.
Or else I'm not going to be here. So when you make the, when it clicked and I made the change from being fat Eric to smaller Eric and going through my process, I had to change my whole mind, my whole concept of thinking, my whole way of everything. And it was a really, really cool experience because it turned me into a different animal, a different musician, a different love for life, a different son to my parents, a different just everything. It really, really changed the whole thing.
That's beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah. I it's because I didn't really know you then, but then years later when we actually like really kind of met, because when I met you at first, we were at like NAMM or something, and I said, what up to you? And yeah, I got kind of the ego vibe.
Totally. And
20 years ago, right?
It didn't even mean to be that way. You go through NAMM and you're like, oh, I'm a rock star.
NAMM, you got your shades on and the bright lights. Yeah.
Crazy.
You're like a superstar at NAMM, right?
And if anybody know me now and they come hang out with me or they see me at NAMM show, I'm totally not that guy.
Yeah, no, you clearly have changed. I mean, obviously your physical appearance, you look great. You've lost so much weight. How much weight have you lost?
Over 200 pounds.
That's amazing. And you seem lighter as an energy, you know?
That's the whole thing, to be lighter. I don't want to be anybody's doomsday. I don't want to be anybody's downfall to their day. If you see me, I want to give you encouragement.
That's
even in the drumming community. Like, I actually stay off of Facebook a lot and commenting on so much things because it's too much negative.
Yeah,
it's so negative. And I get it, because we all have our own way of thinking and we all want to do things a certain way, but I don't want to be the cause of somebody wanting to go kill themselves. And that's not it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has a bad day. Every day is a big day to somebody.
Yeah.
And they could be going through it. And you could say the wrong thing or get on the wrong thing, or anything can tick somebody off. And you never know what that person going through.
Yeah. So when you made that conscious decision to be like, I want to be a new Eric.
Yeah.
And you started going down that path. Obviously, it takes time to lose the weight. But do you feel like mentally and emotionally, it was kind of like a snap and you were just, or did you have to work on it?
What's another snap is how the atmosphere works, how a lot of people don't believe about God, but I'm a firm believer, like the way God works things out, no matter if it's good or it's bad, was how one moment I was like, I can't do this in a rock band. The next thing was when I met Michael Bland, and I took a picture with Michael Bland. That totally clicked me. Like, it was like that day, chicken and vegetables.
Wow.
And it's not like a bad thing. It was just how I met him, and he was playing a concert in Stockton. And it totally just, it jumped me in the gear. It was like, I love this dude so much on drums, but I want so much more for my career and for my life. And I need to go 0 to 100 today.
Wow.
And my dedication is just, it be on.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with whatever ideas I have, just like with Dope Sticks.
Yep.
Or the Drum Resort. It's like, you, once it's there in my mind,
you go for it.
I go for it.
Yeah.
And no matter, and it's even worse when somebody tell me I can't.
Yeah.
When they tell me I can't, it's like, oh.
Now you're going to prove it to them.
I really got to. And it was the same thing when I was big, like playing like different chops. And like, you're big, you can't play double bass like that. Like, oh, I could be Gene Hoagland.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get that. I'll play this music. Like, you can't play rock music. You're a big black drummer. Like, okay, watch.
Watch me. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
It was just always about proving the doubters wrong.
Yeah.
Always. Always.
That sparked your drive.
Honestly what sparked Dope Sticks too.
Yeah.
It's like,
what sparked Dope Sticks?
Man, I hate talking about it because I don't want to give this person that much energy, but I appreciate them. The simple fact that I was told that I had an entrepreneurial spirit, which I know, I do have the spirit to want more than just being a day-to-day drummer or somebody's YouTube star or this person's drummer. Like, yeah, I have an amazing idea and I'm coming to you with a turnkey product. And they were like, yeah, that's not going to work for us here because you have an entrepreneurial spirit and pretty much we desire to keep people in their box.
Mm.
And I was like, what? Like, so you're just going to throw me to the wolves? Yeah, we're just going to throw everything away that we've been working with you. And 2020, January 23rd, 2020 was like a wake up, and it was like, you gonna sink or swim. What you gonna do? I was like, you know what? Let's go. I actually, I gotta give it to my manager at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, April Barnes. She was like, whatever you desire, I think you should go for it. She's like, I got your back. And I was like, it's gonna take a lot of work. She's like, let's work. Yeah. Let's go. And it was crazy because the pandemic hit, but it couldn't happen at the most better time.
Right. Because you're going direct to consumer anyways,
direct,
right?
Direct to consumer.
Yeah, yeah.
People need jobs.
Yeah.
I literally was just on a world tour.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Was able to give people jobs, and I've employed people since.
Stay home. Don't be on the road. Focus on it.
It's been an amazing blessing.
By the way, Dope Sticks is Eric Moore's drumstick company. If you aren't an Eric Moore fan watching this and know all about Dope Sticks. Because yeah. If you're an Eric Moore fan, you know about Dope Sticks.
Totally. It was crazy is a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
I was in Paris, France.
Yeah.
And I was chilling with Stanley Randolph.
My boy.
He was like, yo, I didn't know that you own Dope Sticks. I was like, yeah, bro, this is my company. He was like, I thought you was just an endorser of a company. Like, no, this is me. And these sticks are made by me, like I created.
That's even better though, bro.
Dude.
I like that even more.
It's crazy.
Because if he knew that it was from you, maybe it's just because, oh yeah, I know about this because of Eric. But the fact that he doesn't know that they're attached, that
yeah,
it's
he
you,
didn't even know.
That just means he knows about Dope Sticks and he's, okay, it's this thing, it's cool. Like yeah. To me, if someone's like, oh yeah, I know all about Jamcard. Wait, you started Jamcard? I'm
that
like,
part.
That's even better.
Super.
It's even better that you don't know it's me. I don't want Jamcard to have to be attached to me.
Nah, it's bigger than you.
Exactly.
And it's so dope that you're able to put something into play and your dream come to reality.
Yeah.
For real.
It's hard work, dude. I commend you for starting your own drumstick company and just doing your own thing. A lot of musicians are not entrepreneurial enough. And if they even dabbled in it, you'd learn so much about your career.
Totally.
You know, and what the possibilities are.
Totally.
And also, like, let's say you now know, you're like, wait, I know how the drumstick business works now. You don't know unless you do it.
Right.
You got to go do it and see what's hard, what comes easy, what doesn't, obstacles. And now you get this like map of just like, oh wow, I can imagine how the other stick companies work. Right.
Totally. Now it's so much intricate, especially like drummers. Like when you're young, you're looking for the endorsement.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want the endorsement, but they don't know that what comes with the endorsement or how the endorsement works, or I want my own signature stick that can be sold in the store. Okay. You want your stick sold in the store. How many sticks do you think goes to the store? Or how many stores do you think are going to buy your stick? Or how many guitar centers are going to get that person's drumstick? Okay. Me, I literally did the math. And I was like, okay, but if I'm only making pennies on a dollar for every stick that's going in the store, then that's not that much money. And if the store only wants to buy 20 pairs, but we only have 54 stores, let's say we get 2,500 pairs that go out every quarter. Okay, but you make pennies on the dollar for that pair, that for that stick sold. What's crazy is the drummer is taking a very, very small portion to sell their self to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. And I totally get it. And I probably wouldn't have went the route that I went and known what I know now if that company would have been like, yes, we love your idea and we'll rock with you and let's go with it. But now the cat's out the bag and I know. And I probably would never go another route ever.
I mean, what's crazy, we're talking inside baseball here, but when you see drummers have a cymbal with a company or a stick with a company or a something with a company, that drummer is not making that much money at all, if any money. Sometimes it's just like a promo or a marketing thing. You want to have your photo on a cymbal box or you want to have this thing. But then when it comes down to it with the economics, it's like you may have the perception of this drummer is now huge. They're on this thing, but really it doesn't actually equate to dollars.
No.
Which is crazy because drummers or any individual musician in general, whether you're a guitar player, keyboardist, anything, violinist, whatever it is, like, you're an entrepreneur, you're a freelancer, you got to make every dollar every day. It's your responsibility. So there should be things in play to where there are better profit splits for musicians.
Exactly.
If you get to the point to where you're a big enough name to where you can have your own cymbal with this company or a drumstick with this company or a guitar with this company, you should be making a good margin of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's unfortunately not that way.
Is this how the business got to roll? And especially with nowadays, with social media, with drummers taking on being, just like you said, if a drummer has a cymbal, that's cool. And it's amazing companies that are giving drummers their signature cymbals and that are working with artists. Now, there are companies that, no, they might not be paying their artists for that cymbal sale a huge amount of money. But let's say you playing that company and then that company offers you a certain amount of clinics every year.
Mm-hmm.
And that clinic package could be however much money, whatever amount of money that is. That's a drummer knowing that their yearly salary, no matter if they get a gig or they don't get a gig, they know that they're going to make that much money because they have that many clinics coming. They have this form coming to them. It's so much to business. I'm definitely super hip to what goes on with business, from drum clinics to endorsements to everything. That's where the other side of my business, which is the drum resort, that's where that comes into play. Not just teaching drummer chops,
right?
And teaching drummers that, I love to teach them the business side, like social media, marketing, being able to know what to charge. Like, a lot of, it's so much to music.
Yeah.
It's a lot to music. I don't even know it all, but drumming, pretty there with it. But it's so much to just music in general. That's why it's good to know amazing people like you, because you're on a whole nother side. And then when we talk and able to bring in different things, it's combustion.
Thanks,
it's crazy.
Man. On clinics real quick. So first of all, how many drummers are actually even doing clinics these days?
It's not.
You're one of the only. Like, for real, there's definitely not 100.
No.
And if you think about how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands or millions of drummers there are, there's definitely not even 100 doing clinics, right? Let's say there's 20. I don't know what the number is. So for you, because I see you doing clinics all the time, as you just were out there doing a clinic, right?
It's, yeah.
How do you get a clinic?
I'm very, very blessed. I've never had the companies that, yo, Minor Cymbals, you guys, not just the cymbals, but you guys marketing and how you guys push the drummer and do for the drummer is amazing. Every time I click on Google, it's a Minor Cymbal artist dropping a video of something. That's awesome. And that's marketing genius.
Yep.
They put drummers into play to do drum clinics.
Yep.
I see.
They have their own clinic.
Yeah, they have their own clinic, their own festival. It's awesome. Me as Eric Moore has to do everything on his own. I may get an email, an Instagram alert, something that I check out, like just like I just got hit today about doing an Australian clinic tour, and got to just do all the budgeting and setting it all up and figuring out all the logistics. But it's some people that are blessed with that company that could put it into play and be able to be like, yo, we got 10 clinics set up for you in Australia. Over here, we got China set up for you for this, whatever, with our company. And that's amazing. For me, I work so hard.
Yeah, how does Eric Moore do it? I want to know about you.
So, like I was saying, I get an email from people that want to set it up. And I'll go through and I actually have my manager go through and
that'll be like an individual promoter, right? Totally. Somewhere.
Yeah. Totally. So we'll filter it and make sure that it's legit. And we discuss numbers and I let them know like what my fee is, what I charge for a drum clinic. And we could either make it work from the fee or we make it work. Like right now, I want to get dope sticks into every mom and pop music store.
Dope.
Like it's not, even though I won Guitar Center Drum Off, it's not my goal to be in Guitar Center. Like I want to be in all the small shops and I want to give the best deal ever to all the stores. So I actually want to be able to go do a drum clinic for mom and pop stores, bring in people to their stores with my fame from who Eric Moore is, and bring dope sticks to the store, then show them what dope sticks is all about.
Yep.
Talk to them about me and be able to do a dope stick clinic But, you know, Eric Moore going along with it. So it's different ways that you could go about it. But for me, I want to do a Dope Sticks clinic tour. Eric Moore featured. And I even have artists and put multiple artists on the bills in different parts of the world, different parts of the U.S., and do something big in these mom and pop stores. So that's one way that I want to do it. Another way is just people reaching out and saying, yo, we want to get you to do a clinic tour. There's a lot of promoters, just like we have for gigs and we have for clubs, people that have lots of clubs that they do or whatever, and you could do tours like that. Me having my own band, I'm supposed to go to Greece with my band in the summer. Got an offer to do a festival and so much other stuff. It's a lot of stuff popping off.
So it's mostly incoming for you.
Yeah.
People, because you have a following now. Everyone knows Eric Moore. So people are just sending you opportunities.
Totally, totally. And it gets set up from like years in advance. Like last year, I had different artists and people reach out and ask me, what are you doing around this time next year? And you could pencil it in. But the way the universe works, you never know. You could get a call today from an amazing artist and be like, yo, we about to start rehearsals in a month. Can you do this and do that? And if it's on the table for you, it's amazing.
As we talk about clinics and the small amount of drummers that do clinics, it reminds me of our dear mutual friend that we...
Don't make me cry, bro.
That we unfortunately lost. Man,
don't make me cry. I love him.
We got to talk about Aaron Spears, man, who is definitely one of the most powerful forces and brightest lights in my life. And he tragically passed away a couple months ago now. I can't believe it's already been a couple months. But I know you guys are friends too. And what did Aaron mean to you?
To talk about Aaron, a lot of people won't understand because it's not somebody that you just seen like on my side all the time or not. I'm not Gerald Hayward, which is drumming legend. I'm not Jamal Moore, which is his little brother. I'm not raised in DC like all the other drummers. But Aaron Spears is a drummer that honestly made me the drummer that I am. He gave me the ass kicking I needed. Like to say it like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're going to go 96.
Wow.
1996. And I'm about to tell my age now. 1996. I was 15, 16 years old. And Aaron is, I think, 6 years older than me. And we were at Gospel Music Workshop. And me and Aaron sat down to play drums. Actually, I was already messing around the drums. And he sat down on another drum set, and I'm 16, and we played a 6/8 groove. And he made me feel this big. And when he made me feel that big, I knew then, I was like, if I ever sit down with him again, it's going to be on and cracking. That one incident fueled my fire, like being bagged on being a fat kid. But not the way he motivated me so amazingly because of the human that he was. When we got done, he was like, man, you sound great. He was like, you just got to practice in the 6/8. But man, you got some chops, kid. Like you good. I was like, bro, you just murdered me. He was like, nah, man, you sound good. He was like, man, you're great. What's your name? And from then on, years later, went in drum off, sitting down, talking, going to NAMM shows, hanging out, phone calls. Literally the night he passed away, which is a few days after his birthday, I literally was just texting him because we both like Guaraná from Brazil. It's a special soda. And I was in South America and I showed him a Guaraná. I was like, look, bro, I got some Guaraná. He was like, drink some for me. 2 days later, I'm on live And I'm watching Eloy play drums. And he's like, yo, that's the dude. This is the night. Like, he's on my live, commenting on my live. And then the next day, I get to the city where I am, and I get woken up with that phone call. And it was so crushing.
Yeah.
So crushing. I had a drum clinic, and I literally was like, I don't feel like playing. I'm sad. And I cried, and I called Thomas. I called Ronald, and we all cried.
Yeah.
And we all was sad. And it just hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts so bad that an amazing human being, then a superhero on drums,
yeah,
can be taken from this world so quickly.
Yeah.
It really hurt. It really hurt. But his memory and him will live on forever because he's that great. He's that great. And his playing ability is in so many different drummers and their vocabulary and people all over the world who play the stack.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way he played the stack.
Yeah.
Now it's all about working on the attitude and being a light, because his light shines so bright. It's amazing how you could be one of the dopest drummers in the world, but your light is brighter than your drumming. And already that great. You're that guy. But your light, your humanity is amazing. Nuts. I just got a package back in the mail from the Dope Sticks office. He literally had just bought Dope Sticks right before he passed away.
No way.
How you? Really? It came back because he couldn't sign for the package.
Oh my God, dude. Because he's that supportive of a friend.
To order Dope Sticks.
He just wanted to support you and try them, probably.
We're in talk, right? We're in the thing. That's the package that just came back in the mail.
Yeah. Aaron Spears. Yeah, return to sender. Oh, return to sender from Aaron, bro. That's crazy. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's the best, dude. He's the best.
The ultimate best.
Ultimate best human. Like,
supportive. On a phone call, how do you stay in touch with everybody?
Yes.
How do you call everybody and always check up on people?
Always checking in.
How?
Yeah.
You're on tour. You're doing, like, how? How do you even have time?
Yeah.
Amazing.
All of us of, like, this drumming community, everyone I talk to, we've all been saying the same thing, which is like...
And your super dad. And your super husband.
Super dad, super husband.
You play at the church. You got to learn multiple musics, everything. You're working with the schools. You're working with your companies. You're not just staying in that one drum company because you get free drums. You're like, no, I need a drum company that's going to push the barriers and do for others and make conscious efforts into society. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
And talk about, like, you can't even compliment him because he's so humble that he doesn't even want, if you're just like, man, you're so amazing. He'll be like, nah. He doesn't even want to hear it, doesn't even want it to enter his ears that you think he's great in any way.
At all, because
he's just like, I'm just a guy, man, just a guy, you know, like, unbelievable.
Super blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not cry no more.
Man.
Can we get a hand clap for Aaron Spears? Yes. That guy.
Love Aaron Spears.
That guy.
Man, I released the first version of Jam Card came out in 2014. No one knows about it because then the real, like, it failed. And then, like, in 2017, I released the actual version that everyone thinks is when it came out. In 2014, there was a failed version that came out. Aaron Spears was on it.
What?
Aaron got on it, texted me on it, and was just like, this is so dope, bro. So proud of you for, like, building this, man. I can't believe it. And I was just like, what? And I knew that it was not dope. It was broken. This version one of Jam Card was not dope.
But he's still
supported. But he was on, I have a screenshot, and it hit me the other day because, like, I was looking at, you know, like, in your iPhone, it has, like, faces of people.
Yep.
And I was going through my phone, and it was Aaron's face. So I clicked on it. It's a bunch of photos of Aaron and me and whatever. And it was his profile photo from version one of Jam Card because I screenshotted back in 2014 because I remember when he got on. That meant so much to me. I was like, holy shit, Aaron Spears is on this? Like that, because at the time, him and I were like friends, but we had just gotten to know. I wasn't like, we got way closer over the years. But back then, I was just really more a fan than I was friend.
That was like the younger us. Just like I was saying, like the younger us. When we come into adulthood and not just being a drummer.
Yeah.
That's where you learn.
Exactly, man. But he was on that version, bro. There was no other big musicians on that version.
That's amazing.
It was just Aaron. And then of all big music, like Aaron, just like a god, you know, of the drummers. Like, and then of course, when 2017 came out, we actually really released Jam Card. He was like, man, anything, what can I do to support? And we made this image that's still on the welcome page of Jam Card of the app when you open it. He's one of the 50 musicians that was like, we took their faces and he was in the collage. And then we launched Jam Card Mentors, which was a product specifically to just help mentor the next generation.
I'm sure
with Aaron. Aaron was like, I'll be the first person on there. I'll give one-on-one mentorships just because he's always giving back. Just like the best, dude. Like really. And when I look at that, I'm like, and this isn't even something that I realized until he passed.
That part.
Right. Like it wasn't until I was reflecting that I was like, look at me, dude. My first time making an app, he was there to support immediately. My first time now really launching Jam Card, he was there to support. We launched Jam Card Mentors. He was there to support every time. He was like the firsts in all those first people. Aaron was in there.
Man, for real.
You know, and like just to show support. That's why he's ordering dope sticks, even though he's got his own signature stick with another company. He's in there ordering your sticks.
Amazing.
And paying.
That part. Not just hitting me up as a lot of drummers do.
Would like,
yo, just send me some.
Yeah, send me some. Yeah.
Nobody greater.
Yeah, man. And he would hate that we're talking about how awesome he is right now.
He would. I know he would. Yo, E.
He'd be like, nah.
Exactly.
No, come on. Yeah, man.
I paid major homage and tribute to him at the Tam Tam Drum Festival.
I saw that, bro. That was beautiful.
Yeah, he's that guy. Sorry, not sorry. He's that guy. It ain't that a person want to chop like him. It's just that when you're that amazing of a human being and you leave this earth, it sucks and it hurt. And when you play drums and you think about it all in within the same thing, you go do the chop like or something like, or even doing a hi-hat choke. Like a hi-hat choke, yes, you've heard plenty of drummers do a hi-hat choke. But when you heard Aaron Spears do that hi-hat choke off that 16-inch floor tom, it was so, I think I should play it like that because that was awesome. Yeah. Or how can I flip it? Because Aaron Spears did it really, really awesomely.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that video of you with you had him up on the screen.
Yeah.
And then at the end you were like, you screamed his name.
Yeah, totally.
Which was awesome, man. It was really emotional.
None of that is for cameras. Like I could care less about what anybody else thinks. Like he definitely super, super set me off as a musician. Set me that time, 1996, Gospel Music Workshop. From there on, that fire. And then let's say there, I won Drum Off in 2003, but he comes out with Usher's Puerto Rico in 2004 on YouTube. That's when YouTube, 2003, 2004 is when YouTube just came out.
Yeah.
We're both big guys. Yeah. Everybody, everywhere I go, I'm always compared. I've been compared to Aaron Spears like my whole career.
Yeah.
Like everything. Oh, Aaron Spears, Aaron Spears.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I'm not knocking it. I just try my best to be me, but Aaron Spears, dope.
Yeah.
Super dope. He used to use the word dope all the time.
you know what's funny? Another Aaron memory that I have that really resonated with me was this was probably 2018. We did a jam at Capitol Records with Ty Dolla Sign. You were there.
Definitely.
And
amazing jam jam, by the way.
That was a great jam jam. We literally hotboxed Capitol Studios.
Crazy. That's because you had the free plug on everything.
You walked in and yeah, that's what we like doing with the jam jams. When you walk into a jam jam, you know, it's like, here's free alcohol, here's free weed, here's the best instruments and all the best musicians, hand curated.
Amazing.
I always just try to make musician paradise is the jam jam, right?
So friendly.
I want the musicians everybody. To walk in and be like, this is where I want to be all the time. And also everyone is happy. You leave your ego at the door.
Yep. No egos.
All support, all love. And we that's like probably what I'm most proud of with the jam jam is the attitude of the jam jam. When you walk in, you can have musicians that have egos, check it at the door without you don't even have to tell them to, they do it. They just know it's like
it's so dope.
It's the ethos is support, right? And excitement of each other. I want to see Eric murder it right in front of me. Oh, okay, great. So anyway, so at that jam jam with Ty Dolla $ign and Mike Moore, big shouts to Mike Moore. It was in the improv in the very beginning part of the jam. I think I was drumming with someone, and then you jumped up on the second kit.
Yeah,
you and I were double drumming totally. with the jam, and then all of a sudden, I think it was Eric Zane, like the MD, called out, "All right, cool, like Shed, like let's go, like on the one." And I was just like, "No, dude, I don't want to Shed with Eric Moore. Are you kidding me?" I literally, if you probably look closer, I'm just like grooving. He's like, let's do a shed. Just like,
So real quick, just to butt in, just a poquito a little bit. When I shed, especially in a moment like that, even when I got to play with Anderson .Paak,
yeah,
it's never
forgot about
it's
that.
It's never for I desire to chop a person's head off.
Right.
It's because we're playing music.
Yes.
I want to build that groove and however we're playing.
Yes.
To make a marriage. Like, yo, when they shed it, it wasn't a him beating up on him. It was a coincide to make it be so impactful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not that. Now, if we sat down and shed, like on two drum sets away from everybody, or yeah, that's a
we're
real shed.
We're just going but in.
The jam jams, just like you said, leaving the ego at the door and just making it amazing. That's the feeling is awesome.
Dude. And I totally forgot about the you and Anderson .Paak double drum at the jam jam. We'll get to that. But like I remember at Capitol Records, you and I started to shed, and I was my immediate reaction was like, God, I don't want to do it. Really, but then we had a great musical conversation, totally. And it was an awesome moment. And then the jam kept going, and I was like, "Thank God, I pulled it off! I got through it. Didn't look like an idiot."
Nah, you was killing. And believe me, it's always going. I'm not him. I don't want to make a drummer be insecure about his playing or to put him on camera and sound bad like that. Yeah. Now, if we had a real shit and we shedding. Yeah. It's
we've done that too. I've gone to your house and we've done that.
It's going to be off with your head. But
but I remember, so when we did that, then like a clip came out the next day or whatever of that moment of you and I, and Aaron Spears sent it to me, right? And he was like, man, I'm in a group thread and everyone's passing this clip around and it's like, we're all talking. It's like, you and Eric sound so great together, bro. I love seeing you guys play together, man. I wish I was there. And I remember Aaron sending me that clip because to me, you know, like, I mean, I'm still a fucking drummer. That's totally. Who I am the most, even though now I drum the least compared to
it's because work,
all the
I
other work stuff. But like, I'm still a drummer. That's like my who I am more totally. Than anything, right? So to have it be like you and me shedding at this event that we did together, and then like Aaron Spears hitting me up about it and giving me praise, I remember that moment just being like, that's awesome.
I just love how he encourages. He's a fan of everybody.
Yeah, a genuine fan, yeah. A supporter to so many people. That's the other thing. When he passed, I couldn't believe everyone that I talked to on the phone all said the same thing. Everyone's super devastated and everyone said the same thing. Man, I just talked to him. Man, Aaron's my support, everything. And just like you said, everyone felt amazing. So loved from him.
It's amazing.
And like they had his attention and he
make you feel like you're the only one in the room.
He had to figure it out. Okay, so now let's go to the jam jam. I totally forgot about the you and Anderson .Paak at the jam jam. So what I do remember now, because you brought it up, is I remember, so Anderson was rapping at the jam jam. Yeah. I got on the kit and then I got off the kit because Anderson looked at me like, I want to get on the drums. So Anderson walked over to the drums, and then we always have two kits at the jam jam because a drummer started the jam jam. So there's going to be two kits forever. And then the second kit was open, and I see you walking towards the kit. And I remember I walked up to you and I was like, don't be all Eric Moore right now. And you immediately were like, no, bro, we're good.
Totally.
And then you sat down to Anderson, saw you, and Anderson got hyped. And then you guys had an awesome moment.
It was
musical and it was great. But I remember going to you being like, wait.
Right. You really get me that he's special guest.
Yeah.
He's like, the president is here. Like, don't mess it up for the president. All right. I got you. We good.
Man, speaking about other drummers that have brought it to a whole other level, Anderson .Paak, you are the fucking guy, dude.
Totally.
You are the man. Thank you for what you do for drummers.
Heck yeah.
And everything else. So big shout out to Anderson .Paak and our boy Aaron Spears.
Yeah, man.
All the love.
Yeah, man.
I love drummers that just do more.
Got to.
Just keep going.
That part.
Just be bigger. Get better. Try things.
There's a lot of drummers that can sing, that can play multiple instruments. I'm one of them, but I just like drums a lot.
I know you can sing. I know you can sing, Eric.
I'll be on the drums like, yeah.
All right, so I want to talk about your famous Missy Elliott Get Your Freak On video.
Let's go.
That like exploded in the drumming world. So sick. So dude, how did that happen? Like, how did that video come together?
I get called by Aquarian. And Aquarian Drumheads, that's what I played for a long time. I've been with them since. That was one of my first endorsements.
Dope.
And they told me they want to bring me to the factory. And they told me they have a surprise for me. So they like, we have a surprise for you. We want you to come to the factory. But we want you to bring your drums and we want you to do some videos and stuff. But we do have something for you. So on the drive going to Aquarian, I hear Missy Elliott Get Your Freak On. And I'm like, this would be cold. And I listen to it. I'm like, I want to play drums to this. So I get there and I'm setting up my drums. And that's when we introduced the Reflector Series drum heads that I helped create.
Like, yeah.
I literally made these drum heads and they're like, look, we have these now. I'm like, what? Like, you really made this happen? They're like, yes, we're going to do this. I put them, they're like, yeah, you know what you're going to play today? I was like, I'm definitely going to do an open drum solo. And I was listening to this Missy Elliott on my way here. Like, I think I'm going to do that. And we put it on. I downloaded it real quick and put it on. And it was mind-blowing to everybody. And it totally went berserk. And what's crazy is it went berserk right before Super Bowl.
When it was Missy.
So
wait a sec.
Yeah, it was like,
so this was you driving in the car and you hear Missy Elliott, you hear Get Your Freak On, you're like, wait, I want to drum to this. You show up to the thing and you're just like, oh yeah, let's just do that track.
And that was just a take? Now look, Missy Elliott is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, amazing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I want to put this out there now. I want to play for Missy Elliott.
Yes.
I would love to play for Missy Elliott. Matter of fact, I'm going to play for Missy
Yes,
Elliott.
Yes, you are.
Watch. I'm going to play for Missy Elliott.
Hit Missy Elliott in the comments.
I'm going to play for Missy Elliott. I'm going to play drums for Missy Elliott.
We're going to take this clip with you playing that song and Missy Elliott.
I'm going to play drums for Missy Elliott.
Here's your drummer. He's the best drummer in the world.
Watch. But I literally listened to it and I played it before it was rehyped, because when it first came out, biggest song ever.
Yeah.
And this is right before the Super Bowl stuff. And then she does Super Bowl after. This is like 6 months later.
Yeah. There we go. About to happen.
I'm saying. So when it dropped, it was like, yo, you literally just played this. And everybody went crazy and it blew up.
Wait, bro, was that the first take?
That was one take.
Oh my God. Because it sounds like, I mean, your breaks in it and everything, you clearly know the song. You know where the vocal cadence. Like, you're playing to the cadence as if you had certain things written to it.
No, I never wrote nothing. That was one take. I just played the drums. Every single thing on them videos, from the Aquarian thing, from even me playing the drum solo, Oh When the Saints, I don't know why God does what he does. I literally play Oh When the Saints Go Marching In for Roy Burns, like the year when Roy Burns is about to pass away.
Wow.
And like in front of him, and right here, he's sitting on the side of me. Oh, when the Saints go marching in, my whole solo was just a feeling of me and him just vibing, having a talk. And then, and crazy.
Bro, that's incredible. I can't believe that that was just, you're like, oh yeah, I have it here. Let me just drum to get your freak on. And then you just do that in a take.
Amazing.
The performance is incredible. It's one of the best captured drum performances I think I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you.
I feel like most people think that, hence the virality of it. Like,
man, it was just on the spot. It was on the spot. It was totally on the spot.
No click, just in your ears.
Yeah, that's it. Just
because there's breaks in that song. Yeah, no. So you're just sitting.
Everything. Even my setup that day. Like, I never used to play like 4 rack toms up. I played 4 rack toms, 3 floor toms, 24-inch kick drum. So my drum set was bigger.
That was
when I just had first signed with Zales.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had just signed with them. So
it was short-lived.
It was an amazing, to be honest with you, I have no problem with the cymbals.
Yeah.
I have no problem with them as a cymbal. Like, they amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just one person there that didn't believe in me. And when he didn't believe in me, he wrote his own ticket to where God put me at now. So thank you for not believing in me.
Yeah.
And it's okay, because where I'm at now, and even the company that I play, the people there are family.
Yeah, amazing, which is super important.
Kelly Peisty, Eric Peisty.
But what you just said is so important, because in the moment, I'm sure, first of all, it sucks to where you get somewhere and then there's one person there that is a blocker or a door closer.
And obviously it happened to a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that's not there
from
2020 to 2024.
Yeah.
Right now, a lot of people that work there, a lot of drummers that endorse that product, that love that product, don't play that product anymore.
Yeah.
Because of one person. And it's okay.
But the thing is, and that's why you have to just be committed to your journey.
Totally.
And knowing that this door is closing for a reason, it's all good, because something better is going to happen. Something else that's going to be, you don't even know where it's going to take you. You have no idea. I have a door right now that's been closed on me in an opportunity. And I'm just, and at first I was like, man, motherfucker, what the hell? Because I know who the person is, and I know this and that. But then really that was so only one moment for me. And I'm just like, something else is going to come.
That part.
And I'm just going to keep growing. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to look back at that and be like, huh, because I know that I would have done the best job for this thing, and this person's closing this door on me out of ego, out of his ego, just fine, because I'm just going to keep going and be like, you're now going to have something that's subpar.
That part.
Because of this one person that ruined it now for the whole company.
Yeah, and you never know at the end. If it fails, you know that you didn't have nothing to do with it because
for sure. And now look at you. Now you have literally your own drumstick company.
It is not... Listen, to have Dope Sticks as my company is amazing, but the simple fact to watch what I put into play grow into what it is now.
Yeah.
I seen it before it happened, and I tried my best to work with a company in order to make it happen, and they told me that your entrepreneurial spirit, you have an entrepreneurial spirit, and we don't want that. Believe me, I read that email often.
Yeah.
Just to go back to it and be like, thank you. Thank you for the push.
A lot of people don't want that.
No.
Which is fine. Let them not want it. Go somewhere else, because an entrepreneurial spirit is a trailblazer. And if you're trailblazing, you're alone.
Totally.
It's lonely out there, and you got to be taking risks.
Super.
You know, and you don't know if you're going to get to this other side or what's on the other side.
You never know,
but that's why you just got to commit.
That's it.
You just commit and you go and just hope that you're going to be taken care of. That's, you know, it. Like when you go and as if you, it's all about just staying authentic to you. Because if you do that, it doesn't matter if what you're trying doesn't work, because you're like, okay, well, at least I tried exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And now, okay, it didn't work. Try something else.
Totally.
But if you are listening to other people and they're like, we don't want you to be an entrepreneurial, we don't want you to do whatever, and then you like are kind of doing their thing and then it doesn't work, and you're like, I should have just done my thing. Because if you do your thing and then it doesn't work, all good.
Yeah.
But try on to the next one.
But if you just follow your heart.
You got to. Got to
follow your heart. It's like people wanting to move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Or they keep on, their family tells them not to. But I need to follow my heart. You need to follow your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you never, man, so many musicians and people I talk to, and I've been able to just tell them, not just follow your heart, but literally hear what someone is telling me in my ear to tell them.
Yeah.
And when it all works out and we talk again, they be like, yeah, you remember that information you gave me? 100% spot on.
I want to talk about gospel chops.
Let's go.
Because I remember back in those days, I used to see you on the gospel chops DVDs and everything, and you were killing. And it'd be you, Tony, Thomas, whoever was a bunch of people playing back then. What happened to like the gospel chops movement? Like, of course, that was such an important era and inspired so many players, and it's still prominently today in drumming, right? But I feel like I don't know if it's just me, but I just don't see it. I don't see like that. I don't know if that was just like a brand that went away, but like who was running that brand? Who was behind that movement? Who got you involved? And like what happened to it?
It's first off, major success, plug, love, everything to the Gospel Chops brand.
Yeah.
I am grateful for Mr. Gerald Forrest, who was and still is Mr. Gospel Chops. Mm-hmm. He is the brand ambassador for Gospel Chops. He created the brand.
Nice. Amazing.
And he had an amazing vision.
Yeah.
And he put his vision forward into wanting to take young drummers, musicians, and bring them together and shed.
Yeah.
And bring light to shedding. Mm-hmm. And what shedding is, I think that at that time, 2004, 2005, when it came about, was phenomenal. The name itself being called Gospel Chops spun into something like a spider web that was...
Yeah.
So when you think of a spider web, it's not just one line. It's so many lines. So Gospel Chops spun into a spider web of people not understanding that what we're doing is shedding. This has been around for many, many years.
Yep.
From so many years, I'm having a brain thing right now, not being able to remember.
You have coffee right there.
Totally. So many different drummers shedding back in the day on film. Buddy Rich, battle, drum battles. The guys from Remo, drum battling. Dave Weckl, Vinny Caliuta, Marvin Smitty Smith, all these battles back in the day, drum battles, that is shedding. But we just brought it into the forefront, into the limelight when YouTube came out.
Yeah.
So because we have YouTube and we have more than just a VHS, we blew it up.
Yeah.
Through tremendous. But when he called it Gospel Chops, like that's what they thought we were playing. Mm. So when they're playing all of these licks, it's not just a gospel chop.
Right.
This is this person named this a shedding, Mr. Gospel Chops. His name is Gerald Forrest, presents Gospel Chops, Shed Sessions, mm-hmm. Volume 1.
Yeah.
We're shedding. We're doing a session. It's going to be on camera. And that was his name behind the camera. It's like Walt Disney, but it just, everybody knows Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
And that's what spun it out of control. But when I would go to France or I would go to Brazil or I would go to all these different countries, everybody would think that this is how you play music. And that's where Gerald Hayward and Teddy Campbell and all of the OGs and pioneers of playing gospel music and chopping and stuff were like, no, that's not what gospel music is. And they got on us as the younger community. And instead of us being able to come together and working, like maybe doing a video and explaining like, yo, this is what we're doing. This is what's called, you know, shedding. And this is how you do it. And this is what came about. It turned into something that shouldn't have been and kind of like a rivalry. And that's what kind of killed it.
Mm.
It kind of killed it. And by like 2010, it had died down, you know. But everybody still know that it's called Gospel Chops, and they know when we playing, that's the Gospel Chops movement. And Gerald Forrest, who is amazing, he started coming into himself, and he would send out people lawsuits for saying gospel chops, like don't use the word and it's copywritten. And I could be wrong, but I think that's what was happening. So because of exploitation, wanting to be him, he wants the credit and he deserves it. He made this amazing movement and I have nothing against, nothing but love for the whole thing, because it definitely helped my career and where it is today.
Yeah.
How it played out is now the gospel chops phrase and everything has died down and we see who's still here and still moving forward
in music.
But I know that the brand and gospel chops was amazing.
Who are your favorite musicians? Like if you were to build a super band, who would be in your super band?
Really?
Yeah.
Hadrian Farad on bass.
Oh yeah.
Bubby Lewis on bass.
Double bass.
It, to be honest with you, it would be, if I could build my own band,
yeah,
I would have to do a record.
Yeah.
It would be a record. Thundercat.
Yep.
Which I've played with Thundercat for 8 years in Suicidal Tendencies.
Yep.
It was amazing. I miss playing with Thundercat. I'm going to go with Musicality, Bubby.
Bubby Lewis.
Bubby Lewis. In a band. Even though Hadrian is...
incredible.
Top three.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's another bass player named K-Bass that's crazy too. I played with him one time in church and we set the church on fire. Like literal fire. It was like, whoa, bro. We third eye the whole
time. That's awesome.
Time. I love playing with Corey.
Corey Henry.
Like him on organ. It's another Javad on keys. And yeah, divide. And it's a lot of amazing pianists and stuff like that. But in my super band, I need dogs.
Yeah.
Because when
this band is killing
already. like I need dogs. I need people that's going, when they play a solo, they all the different musicality of the solo, from either a bass player thinking like a violinist, or a bass player thinking like a guitarist, or a bass player thinking way outside the box for a solo, is where I'm at. Just like when I play drums, my vocabulary, I want us to be able to go everywhere.
Yeah.
Guitar, I'm going to have to come back to a guitarist. There's some crazy guitarists too. I don't know. It's too many amazing musicians. But the
pretty super band already.
It would have to be... is lit. And I want to do an album ASAP. I want to do my own project ASAP. I just know everybody be working. I tried to put a project together over the pandemic and it worked out cool. We did a song. The song was really dope, but it's just so hard to get everybody to just come together.
Yeah, I feel you.
Super band is too many amazing musicians. I just want to make albums with people. And hopefully when I get ready to do my own thing, it would be dope to do like two keyboard players that could play keys and key bass at the same time or something like that. And then me on drums and probably a vocalist or something.
That'd be hot. So you got a big following on social media and you post a lot on social media. How much time are you spending putting together those posts? And then also, how do you just handle the pressures of social media?
Okay. Now I hate social media.
Okay.
I really do. At this point in 2024, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And what's weird is how social media can block a lot of things. For the longest time, I couldn't even get a blue check. Like, I can't get a blue check for nothing. And now I finally got a blue check. Cool. For the longest time, my social media was stuck at a certain number and would never move off of that many people. No matter what I post, only so many people could see it and whatever it was. Everybody's like, I don't never get your post anymore. I don't see this. I don't see that. So social media just turned into a weird game. And I was just like, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. And posting isn't difficult. Like, I play drums all the time, every day, whatever it is, because I have a house, so it's set up. Just literally plug in my phone, record what I'm doing, and it's fresh content daily, all the time. But when it comes to your content not being seen, or the inspiration not being to you, that's where it just loses its fun. But I just dislike social media as far as for it's a job.
Yeah, it's a job.
It's a complete job. Like tapping in with everybody and posting the right content, posting at the right time, being able to hit followers back and being polite and answering questions. And then it's a job. It's a whole job within itself.
Absolutely.
It's a whole job. So I've actually cut back on it a little bit, like only posting a few times a week.
Yeah.
Used to post 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. Like, yeah. I want to be able to tap in with all of you and give you guys the best of me.
Yeah.
And to keep it pushing. Because it actually would keep me inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Posting used to keep me especially through the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was our form of communicating and connecting with others.
It's crazy,
though.
We had
nothing else to do.
It's crazy, though. So many drummers would be like, I'm not social media. I was like, y'all need to be on this social media.
Yeah,
you need to get on your own hype because you playing for artists is not going to always be there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's something that we had to learn. Like artists are amazing. Like, it's nothing wrong with playing for artists, but who are you? What are you going to do when that door closes? Just like it did in 2020. What did you do? Oh, now everybody got a YouTube channel now. Yeah, but it took you forever to now build up your 1,000 followers because you should have had that.
Yeah, you got to own it. You got to be thinking about it in layers.
Yes.
You got to have multiple revenue streams.
For real. You can't wear these without that.
I know. Got to have money coming in from all angles.
That part.
What watch you wearing right now? What do we got? Is it Rolex?
Presidential.
Oh, the presidential.
A little Presidente.
I love it.
Burgundy face.
I love the burgundy face.
Yeah, a little burgundy face action.
It's clean.
Yeah.
With the diamonds.
Yeah. I like my green one too.
Yeah, the green one's nice.
Nice and subtle. Green, red, and black.
I got a black face.
I love it.
There
Super
it is.
Clean.
You have gone through a lot of shit. Oh,
tons.
You've had a lot happen. Heavy things, life-changing things. You lost your dad, right?
Yes.
And a sibling?
Yep. I've so much. Being a musician and losing loved ones sucks.
Yeah.
It's the worst ever. When I lost my sister, I literally came home from Brazil on tour, came home for a week.
Man.
Got to see my sister in the hospital, talked to her. She was like, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. I think they're going to let me out of here. We're going to be all right. Okay. Awesome. To being in the hospital for a week, her passing away.
Man.
And then literally Thursday, she passed away. And on Friday, I had to be in Chicago at Riot Festival playing in front of 25,000.
Man.
Like it didn't mean nothing. And I'm super hurt.
Wow.
Super hurt. Through this whole, man, this pandemic... Losing my dad?
Yeah.
That? Yeah. 2021, January 30th, 2021, that day totally changed. It altered everything.
Mm.
It altered who I was as a musician, altered who I was as, like, working. I literally couldn't play drums for, like, 2 weeks.
Man.
And then I finally had to, like, I literally feel like he... talked to me and was like, get back on the drums.
Yeah.
You have to play.
Yeah.
Like, you have to play. And when I went and sat on the drums, it's like life picked back up.
Wow.
But for the longest, I literally just sat in that big house and was just sad.
Yeah.
Totally sad. Didn't want to post, didn't want to do anything. Sad. And then once I sat back on the drums and just flowed, I was able to turn back into myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy.
How do you handle loss?
I push through. Like, I've learned how to... I've gone through so much. I've gone through losing... I was married. Mm-hmm. I was married. I was with my high school sweetheart for 20 years. I went through getting a divorce through a pandemic. Losing my dad through a pandemic, not having any gigs through a pandemic. From like literally the day the pandemic hit, I was on a world tour for the last 9 months playing drums in front of 25,000 people every day to you're at home.
Yeah.
Nothing. You figure it out. So all of these things being in a whole new Las Vegas, living in Las Vegas, never, don't have no friends and family there, just everything, life changing. Losing everything, I've lost everything a few times to gaining it all back. But losing loved ones is something that you have to understand that there is life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning not for them, but for yourself.
Mm.
Like when you lose a loved one, that person, whatever they had going on, they're not going through it no more.
Mm.
And we don't know what it is or what it was. There's so much hurt going on in the world. Like people that financial, people deal with financial things that they can't fathom spending $3,000 a month because that's too much money. They only make $1,800. How are they going to? People that can't afford to eat or feed their family, they want to take their life. It's so much negatives that are happening for people that we don't think about. A lot of people don't think about. But for me, staying super positive and like, even though I lost my dad, which was my best friend, I still have my mother and I could call her. And I could talk to her and I could go see her. I still have my younger siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I lost my best friend, which was my sister, Katoya, she played drums, bass, piano, all the stuff. But I still have my older sister than her. So I call her and we hang out. And I just learned to embrace what I do have and not dwell on the negatives or the things that I lost.
Yeah. Man, I'm so sorry. It is beautiful to hear your strength, though, and your perspective of just continuing.
Man, thank you. Thank you.
But that sucks, man.
It's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. A lot of people, it's crazy. When I talk to different drummers or I talk to people, they think that this whole life and everything that I have, from the endorsements to the gigs to everything, just comes easy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. It doesn't.
No, nothing.
And I don't get to work with your favorite R&B artist, or I'm not getting put on by the most successful, amazing MD that loves me. A lot of times I've been told that you're too good. You should be your own artist, from super MDs, from people. Like, why do you want this gig? Why do you want to be put on this gig? Like, why do you want to play for that artist and you're your own artist? Or like, you should be... I understand I could be. I want to be a musician too.
Yeah.
I want to, like, yes, I could play all the chops in the world. But it's crazy when Eros Ramazzotti calls me and he's like, play my pop music. And now I'm on tour number two, world tour. And I love playing pop music and playing the most subtle, amazing music for an artist that is in a whole nother galaxy.
Yeah.
Amazing. When you think I should be playing for this, but I know that my time is coming. When it comes, when it comes, and how it comes is so dope. Like, you would think, like, I'm telling you, I'm gonna play for Missy Elliott.
Oh, I can't wait. You definitely are gonna play for Missy Elliott.
Watch.
Let's go.
For real.
We're manifesting on this show.
Let's go.
Come here, Missy Elliott. Eric Moore is so ready.
It's happening, bro.
Did you not see the video, Missy Elliott? She saw it.
She has to.
She probably had 100 people DM it to her like, look.
And it just went viral again.
Did it?
It really did. From the Tam Tam Festival.
That's awesome.
Super. They got...
it's your song.
12 big. It's her song? But let me,
it's your song.
Let me get a little piece.
It's your
little
song.
A little piece. I want to manifest me on stage. When she goes to do it, she'd be like, get your Eric Moore.
Oh, get your Eric Moore on.
It'd be cool. So crazy.
Well, dude, thanks for coming here today, man.
My ultimate pleasure. My ultimate pleasure. Thank, bro. Elmo, thank you for all that you do with Jam Car and just life in general, just being who you are. Like, seriously, I appreciate you. Like, the brotherhood and everything is phenomenal. And anytime you need me, you call me. And it's always going to be that way.
I appreciate it.
And I got you. Like, period. Like, what you got going on? You need me? I'm there.
Thank you, man.
For real.
Thank you, dude. That means a lot, honestly. Well, thanks for coming here. Thanks for being the homie.
Heck yeah.
And I'm glad we got to dive deeper. Ladies and gentlemen, the future drummer of Missy Elliott.
Let's go.
One of the greatest drummers in the game. Eric Moore is here. Go get your dope sticks.
Go with Elmo.
This is the stuff, man.